Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that hope began in the form of a baby lying in a manger. What might have seemed helpless, what might have seemed small and innocent, was full of power, was full of glory, was full of wonder. And God, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, the people of God said, amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. We're going to continue our message on wonder. Last week we talked about signs. We talked about signs in creation. Yeah, you guys can be done. Signs in creation, and we talked about how God displays himself and he gives us signs in the heavens and he gives us signs on the earth to display his might and his power and to draw our attention to him. How many of you know that we serve a jealous God? And we serve a God who longs for us to be attentive to what he is doing on the face of the earth. God says that he wants our eyes to be fixed on him. And so sometimes he creates a sign to say, hey, get your eyes back on what really matters. Because sometimes our eyes get drawn astray and our eyes get fixed on our circumstance or our situations or our problems or the things of this world. And God says, hey, put your eyes on me. There used to be a song that we sang in church that said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Anybody remember that? We need to begin to sing that song to ourselves. We need to begin to sing, turn our eyes. Lord, help me to turn my eyes and fix them on you. This is what Christmas is all about. It is about saying, hey, you remember there was a star in the sky. They said, hey, go to where the baby is laying in a manger, because it is that baby that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look at somebody and say, fix your eyes on Jesus. So we talked about creation signs, and then we also talked about performance signs. Creation signs help us to look up at God and say, God, this isn't all about me anyway. This isn't all about Travis and what Travis wants and what Travis needs and what Travis thinks he's going through today. This is about Jesus. Everything is about him. Everything is about it. Listen, if we can get perspective that everything that we go through in life is to help us to draw closer to him, then we will have a new perspective that will help us to get through every circumstance and every situation. It's all about him. Somebody say it's about Jesus. Creation signs help us to look up. Performance signs is so that we look around. This is what we do. We say, hey, there are other people in this world besides me. That's what I love about Christmas, is it helps me to think about other people. It's a time, you know, for some of us, like, what can I get? This is what I want. But this is a time where we begin to look around and say, hey, what can I give to someone else to make their life a little bit better? That's what performance signs is all about. There's other people that are hurting. There's people that are in need. There are people who are needing you to operate with signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. So that brings us to this week's message, which is simply entitled Wonders. Wonders. So wonders defined, to break it down for you, wonders is both a noun and a verb. The noun is a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration. I love that. It is a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration, caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. So this is really what God's saying. He said, hey, I'm going to create signs and I'm going to create wonders that cause a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration. How many of you have ever been surprised by God before? We were surprised by God when we began the adoption process. This message falls so beautifully in our story. We were surprised because when we began the journey, they told us, you need to adopt. If you want to adopt, make sure you adopt like 8 years and older. Because you can adopt kids 8 years and older like tomorrow if you want to. I mean, that's maybe an exaggeration, but really fast. Nobody fights that. But we believe that it was our calling and our mission to adopt babies in the infant stage to save them from a life of turmoil and being placed in homes and homes and homes. That's just what we felt like our calling was. Now, my heart goes out to the children who have been in the system and they need to be adopted. And I'm just going to throw this out there. There's over 5,000 of them in Arkansas. But we believe it was our mission to adopt babies. God has always given Pamela specifically a heart for babies, and they used to call her the baby whisperer. Nobody could get a baby to do what they needed to do, and they would bring them to Pamela, and it was just, she knew how to take care of business, you know? And so we believe it was our gifting and our calling to take care of babies. And they said, you know what? You're going to wait 2 or 3 years before you ever get a baby. That just doesn't happen very often. And then just out of the blue, we get a phone call. Out of the blue, less than a year, we get a phone call about a baby who needed an emergency placement from the hospital. They needed somewhere to put him right now. And that baby's JoJo. And we were able to adopt him. And then, to our surprise, we get another phone call, an emergency placement from the hospital. We need a place to put this baby right now. You should have seen the party going on in my house. So there was jumping and shouting and squealing and all the sense of excitement when we found out that Addie was coming into our life. It was a big surprise. And then there was a feeling of, oh my God, we're going to have two babies. This is like having twins. God surprised us. And then throughout the entire process, you have no idea the process that we went through to be able to adopt her. I mean, you guys just wouldn't believe the stories. It was a battle. We had people interceding and fasting and praying and believing and praying over her and praying over the judicial system and praying over the state. I mean, people all the way at the state level were involved in this adoption. It was crazy. The enemy tried to kill her 4 different times. The enemy tried to kill her 4 different times. And then when that didn't work, he got the state involved and said, we're going to take her out of your home. Pamela packed her bags, I don't know how many times, because the state said, we're coming to pick her up right now. And Pamela would, and they would say, pack her bags, we're coming to get her right now. She's not going to be able to stay with you guys. And we would pack her bags, and then the Lord would intervene. Somebody say, but God. And then finally, they would call and say, pack her bags, we're coming to get her. And Pam was like, I ain't packing nothing. If they show up, we'll do it then. But I'm not packing anything because she's not going anywhere in Jesus' name, right? Somebody say, but God. And then all the way until this Monday, we were still being told it probably wasn't going to happen. And I'm telling you, God surprised us. God loves to do things in order to keep our sense of wonder and admiration at who He is. Listen, I'm thankful that I don't serve a God that did everything for me 2,000 years ago and then checked out. I'm thankful that I serve a God who likes to surprise. It's like a surprise party every day with God. Listen, if you will allow yourself to open your eyes and to see the wonders that God has created just for you. That's why I love my relationship with Pamela. It changes all the time. It goes from glory to glory. It changes all the time. And there are things about her that still surprise me. She does things that causes me, I'm like, where was this all the time, right? and things just change, and things change, and they become different. Listen, this is why we say, listen, keep the excitement in the marriage, right? Keep things changing. You know, go to eat at a different restaurant than you've went to eat at for the last 15 years. Do something new. It's the same thing with God. He does things new. Somebody shout new. He does new things for us so that we can keep our sense of wonder of who He is. But I want to encourage you, do not be afraid of the unfamiliar. Do not be afraid of the unfamiliar, because it is the unfamiliar things in your life that will cause you to have a new sense of wonder of who God is. Do not be afraid of the unfamiliar. The verb is this: the desires or the sense of being curious to know something. To be curious to know something, or to desire to know something. Listen, God wants you to have a desire to know things about Him that you've never known before. That's why it's so important to come to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a good word, Pastor. You are preaching this morning. It makes me want to get up and shout. Thank you, brother. Somebody's listening. The desire to know. Man, listen, I want you to come to this place with an expectancy that you are going to find something out about God that you have never known before. If I ever start preaching in a way that leaves you empty and unfulfilled and without you walking away saying, man, that spoke to me this morning, or something in that stirred me this morning, you need to come and talk to me. And listen, we need to figure something out, because I need to be presenting something to you that will cause you to have a new sense of wonder and excitement about who God is and what He thinks about you. But listen, part of that is you've got to come expecting to receive. I can preach all day long, and if you don't have expectancy, then you're going to leave here feeling just as empty as you came. Well, Pastor, I'm going to a new church because I'm not getting spiritually fed here. Well, I'm sorry. I just spend hours and hours and hours praying and writing and asking God what He wants you to hear. I'm sorry that you didn't come with an expectancy. Okay, I hear you, brother. I hear you, man. I hear you shouting back at me right now. Oh, I should move on? Okay. Gotcha. So the Pastor Travis definition of wonders is simply this: feelings of surprise. Somebody, look at somebody and say, surprise! And admiration caused by the beautiful and unexpected signs from God that causes us to want to know Him more. That's what it's all about, folks. This weekend, you know, we had an awesome day of victory on Friday, and we partied. I say we partied. We didn't have time to throw a party together, but boy, we were partying. I can tell you, the McCamies were partying. And we had this great sense of victory, and we stayed up late Friday night, and man, we were just on this high and everything. And then at 5 o'clock, actually it was 5:10 on Saturday morning, the Lord woke me up, and He said, now you have to steward what I've given you. Now you have to steward what I've given you. He said, I want you to get up, and I want you to spend at least 10 minutes praying for each one of the children that I've completed your family with, and I want you to begin to declare the word over them every day. And I was like, God, every day? So I got up, and I spent 10 minutes praying for each of my children. And what I found out was, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. You know, I pray for my kids every day, but I've never just sat down and for 10 minutes prayed for each one. And I thought, God, that's a long time and could be repetitive. Do you know what I found out? And the Lord really quickened me, man. I was praying, and 10 minutes was up, and I was like, well, I'm not finished. He said, I did not say pray 11. I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, I'll go to the next one. I mean, I don't know what that was about, but that's what God did. I mean, so I found out that it was a lot easier to pray for my children than I thought it was. I'm just telling you, I'm just a guy, man. I'm a guy, and I have a little bit of ADD mixed in. And you know, I like to do something and move on, you know. And so God really showed me how to steward that. But as I was praying for them, what I found that I was spending the most of my time praying for each one of my children was that they would have a desire to know Him more. I can get up here and preach all the self-helps that psychiatrists and education folks would tell you to present to you to help you help yourself. But I can tell you, I could preach one thing: know Him more. And that will fix just about everything in your life. Because everything that you need is found in Him. And so if you have a desire and an expectancy to know Him more, then God will draw you. This is what the Bible says: as you draw near to Me, I will draw near to you. But we just want God to come near to us. God, help me in my struggle. Help me in my problem. Help me in my situation. Help me in this hole that I've gotten myself in. But you know what He's saying? Hey, if you will start to climb out of that hole yourself, and you will start to pursue Me and My righteousness and seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. Because as you draw near to Me, as you have a sense of wonder and want to know Me more, I'm going to reveal more of Myself to you. Okay. I'm preaching better than you're getting excited this morning. Wonders in the Bible. Let's look at these. Old Testament. God parted the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. Man, that is a wonder. See, I mean, can you imagine? I've thought about this so many times. What it must have been like to walk through a sea where the water is piled up in walls next to you. I wonder what the people saw as they were walking. I wonder what kind of sea life was swimming right here. It's a sense of wonder. It created a sense of wonder within the Israelites. Before that, they were in Egypt, and God created these signs that created a sense of wonder even in the Egyptians. What God is this? Even the magicians who were trying to manipulate and duplicate the signs came to a point where they said, we can't do that. We can do this, but we can't do that. What kind of God is this? And He created such a sense of wonder that Pharaoh had to let the people go. God creates sense of wonder so that we can be recognizing who He is and what He's capable of. God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the furnace. One of my favorite miracles in the Bible. I can't imagine. Didn't we put 3 men in the furnace? Well, who threw the 4th wood in? Because there's a 4th guy walking around in there. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace with God Himself in human form for all to see? That is an awesome sense of wonder. And when they came out of the furnace, what was the response of the people? This must be the true and the living God. No one can bow down to any God except for the one true God, the God, Jehovah. God saved Daniel from the lion's den. In the New Testament, we see the day of Pentecost. We see the day of Pentecost. Like we talked about last week, tongues of fire, mighty rushing wind came in, and then everybody's speaking in tongues, and everybody's understanding what they're saying. And there's such a sense of wonder that God begins to build His church, not just that day, but every day thereafter. People are being added to their number daily. God, I wish that was the story about Unity Church. God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. But can I tell you that I'm thankful that the body of Christ does not begin and end with Unity Church, because the body of Christ is still to this day being added to daily. Somebody say daily. It's because there's a sense of wonder of who God is. Peter heals a crippled beggar. Silver and gold have I none, but hey, I'll give you what I do have. Or how about this? Just walking by and, I mean, can you imagine Peter? He's just walking by and his shadow falls on somebody and people are just getting healed? Walking by like, boom, oop. Didn't know that was going to happen. That's pretty cool, man. You should carry a spotlight with you. Have somebody walk with you with a spotlight and just extend your shadow out and just let it just heal people. Wouldn't that be cool? Man, if I found out that my shadow was causing people to be healed, man, I'd be making my shadow as big and long and walking through everywhere I could. You know what it was doing? It was creating a sense of wonder. Jesus was on the earth performing signs, wonders, and miracles. Then he was crucified and he was buried. He rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God. What God was doing is he's saying, hey, I don't want you to lose this sense of wonder. I don't want you to lose this sense of wonder because God said that we would do even greater works. And then Philip cast out demons from people. All of these things should still be taking place today. Can somebody say amen? So let's talk about creating a sense of wonder. The Bible says in Mark 16, 15 through 20, it says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Somebody say everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. In verse 17 it says, these miraculous signs, will accompany those who believe. Now, I want to talk about this word accompany for just a moment. If you go back and you look at this word accompany, you will find out that it means to follow around. It's like whenever you have that kid that follows you around everywhere, pulling on your coattail, when they're that age, is daddy, 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 hey, daddy, hey. Hey, daddy, can you, hey, daddy, I thought my name was changed to Can You. I would be somewhere and I would hear Can You. I'd be, huh? Was that me? No. You know, it's that follow you around. It's that follow you around where it won't, it's like the mother-in-law that will never go away. Not my mother-in-law. Not my mother-in-law. But some of y'all's mother-in-laws that won't go away, right? It's like the company that comes over and won't ever go home, right? And Christmas is coming. Some of y'all got company coming. And there's always that time, in my opinion. There's always that time. It's like, y'all can go home if you want to. I mean, yeah. Now, we don't have that problem. I mean, we got 7 people in our house. 5 of them are kids. We don't have company anymore. So, it's just one of those things. Hey, that was a pretty good idea. We send them all to Tim and Cheryl's house. These miraculous signs will follow you around and not let go. Follow you around even when you don't want them to. They will follow you. Man, they are going to hang in there. They're going to hang on wherever you go. These miraculous signs will accompany you. Really, this is the scripture that shakes me a little bit and really stirs me a little bit. God, do I really know you the way you want me to? God, am I really the kind of disciple that you want me to? Do I have these miraculous signs accompanying me, following me around? When I go to Walmart, these miraculous signs just kind of tag along like Peter. Man, he's just walking around and they're just following around people, his shadow following people, and they're getting healed. Is this the kind of relationship I have with you? I think not, but it's the kind of relationship that I desire. God wants to create a sense of wonder that causes us to say, there's got to be more. If you study the Brownsville Revival and the revivals of old, it all started with people in a sense of wonder saying, there's got to be more. There has to be more. This is when we see God changing and transforming people's lives, when they have a sense within them that says, it doesn't have to be this way. There's got to be more. Listen, if religion is simply coming to church and singing some songs and hearing a message. Listen, you can have it, but there has got to be more. I grew up in this thing, man. I grew up in this thing and hearing messages and singing songs years ago. I grew up in this, and I would not be standing here today if I truly did not believe that there has to be more. Now, are we saying that God's got to do more for us in order for us to believe? No, I just believe that I haven't got to know the depths of who He is yet. There's got to be more. Mark 16, verse 18 says this. They will be able to handle snakes. Man, I wished I had one this morning. I bet you we could build this church up if we started bringing some snakes in here or something. At least we would be doing something. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be running. For real, though. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. Now, does this mean to be careless? Absolutely not. But Paul proved this, man. Got bit by a snake. What did he do? Shook that thing off. Can I tell you that there's an enemy out there that will bite you, and instead of you becoming upset and worried and uptight and getting the chronic diarrhea syndrome, listen, how about you just shake the thing off? How about offense within the body of Christ? Instead of you getting offended and saying, man, I've been hurt, and the people, I don't go to church because it's nothing but hypocrites, how about you shake it off? Yeah, there's a snake out there. He's been here since the garden that I know of. Shake that thing off. It won't hurt you. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Listen to this. When the Lord had finished talking with them, He was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. In verse 20 it says, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, listen to this, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. There's people preaching all over America today, preaching what they believe in and preaching what they think and what they know and preaching their doctrine and preaching their philosophy, just like the Pharisees were and the Sadducees and the religious rulers of that day, preaching all kinds of things this morning. But until we can confirm what we're saying by many miraculous signs, the world's saying, that's nice, it's a good message, maybe it works for you, but how about you begin to prove what you say? How about you back up what you say? It's not enough to say I love you. How about you prove it by the way you act? You've heard me say it over and over again. I'm going to say it one more time. You believe in healing? Prove it. You believe in healing? Prove it. There is nothing more frustrating to me than somebody saying on Facebook how they serve God the healer and following it up with a post about how bad their headache is that day. I just don't know if I can make it. Oh, the pain is so... And the post right before that was, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, I'm not saying you don't go through troubles and hardships and trials and different things. We live in a messed up world. And I'm sorry we have to go through those things. But quit glorifying that which contradicts what you say you believe. Well, I don't do that, Pastor. Well, quit talking about it more than you talk about the healer. There's a world that is watching. I thought they believed in the healer. I thought they said they believed God could heal the sick. Why are they complaining all the time? I know this is not how you build a church. You say you believe in deliverance. Prove it. Look at somebody and say, prove it. I like what Stephen Furtick said the other day. He said, look at your other neighbor, even though it's your second choice, and say, prove it. You believe in deliverance, prove it. How many of you would say, I believe God can still deliver people? Raise your hand all over this room. Then why are you living bound to something? Hey, I look at myself and say the same thing sometimes. Why can't I say no to sweets? I went to the doctor this week because I'm human. I went to the doctor. I believe in healing. Prayed, believed, sought God. It didn't happen like that. I went to the doctor and I was completely new person by the end of the day. But the first thing I did when I went to the doctor, they said, Mr. McCamey, if you would step on the scale, please. I was just honest. I don't want to. Like, can we skip that? I asked them. I knew that I was not going to like what my eyes saw, right? They kept moving the little thing down, moving it down, moving it down. And you know it's bad when they have to go down to that bottom row? I came home, I told Pamela, I got to do something about this. But it's Christmas time, man. God. We say we believe in deliverance. How about we prove it by letting God set us free from things that have held us bound for so long? Can you go to that next slide? Is it there? Go on down. There it is. Prove it. If you know somebody that's struggling with addictions, you have the power living inside of you to lay your hands and speak deliverance and then disciple them in how to be free. But statistics say, and I'm going to tell on preachers for a minute, 7 out of 10 preachers are addicted to pornography. That is scary. 7 out of 10 preachers addicted to pornography? I'm like, how in the world? No wonder the world's in a mess. We don't believe that he can really deliver us and set us free. You know what I think it is? I don't think deliverance is the issue. I think the issue is discipline. I'm seeking myself discipline not to eat the things I shouldn't eat. I know it's bad for me, but to do it anyway. Some of you, you know Coke is bad for you, but you have 8 of them a day. You thought the rule was 8 glasses of Coke a day, not 8 glasses of water. I know. You know, we have people, they have to look at the cancer labels on a pack of cigarettes before they put it in their mouth. You know, I think it's kind of crazy. How many of you hate cancer? We got Miss Vernon just delivered from cancer. We got others going through cancer. I mean, I hate cancer. Hate it. Hate it. But we got people paying good money for cancer. I don't know what the price of a pack of cigarettes is today, but we got people paying good money for something that says, I'm going to kill your lungs. You know, and pay good money for me, right? I don't understand it. But we do it all the time. No matter what, just fill in the blank. We believe in deliverance, prove it. You know what I heard somebody say not long ago? They said, I don't go to church. And I said, why not? They said, because the pastor always preaches against drugs, alcohol, sex, and all that kind of stuff. But he's like 300 pounds up there. First in line at the buffet, filling up his plate. Looks like Mount Everest coming around the buffet, you know. I thought he just thought he couldn't go back, but then he went back. What a hypocrite. They don't go to church because of pastors. Pastors. Pastors who have fallen into the traps of sin because they didn't believe in a God who could deliver them from that. Listen, the Bible says this, and it's clear as day. There is nothing that you won't go through that he won't make a way out. He's the deliverer. Somebody shout, he's the deliverer. I know this isn't what you signed up for today. Some of you are going to take that slip back out of the offering plate. Like, I don't even want him to know I was there today, right? You believe in miracles, prove it. You believe in prosperity, prove it. We just went through the Dave Ramsey class, and really the reason most of us are not living in prosperity is because we can't stop swiping the plastic card. Or now you don't swipe it, you just insert the chip, right? Or even better yet, you just take your phone and just wave it. You know, every time I turn on my phone, it's like, would you like to pay? No, I don't want to pay. Quit trying to take my money, right? But no, we do that. And I like the convenience. I like the convenience. Just wave that thing. It's like I love Star Wars. It's like, you will give me what I want. All right? It's like Star Wars. But the reason we're not living in prosperity is because we can't control our spending. And so the world is saying, hey, you're preaching a prosperity gospel, but you're not allowing it to manifest in your life. And prosperity is on all different levels. Prosperity does not mean you're driving around in a Cadillac and living in a three-level house and in a gated community. Prosperity is that God has truly blessed everything that you have. Blessed means happy. Now you have joy to go along with it rather than fear of being able to answer the phone because it's a debt collector on the other side. I'm just going to hit everything this morning, and then we're just going to get all this. We're just going to get all this out of the way this morning. What's that? Oh, we're running out of time? Okay, I got you. The results of creating a sense of wonder is this. People get saved. People get saved. The Bible said that they were being added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Why? Because we read it at the end of Mark, because they were going everywhere preaching the gospel and following it up with signs, miraculous signs, that was backing up what they said to be true. I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but I really believe that Magnolia is waiting for a church to wake up and say, there's got to be more. And we start backing up what we say by how we live, number one, and by what we have to offer, number two. And finally this morning, we know that the Star of Bethlehem created a sense of wonder. And what it did was it led people to Jesus. This is what signs and wonders, this is why God has enabled us to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles, was so that it would lead people to Jesus. I don't want my church to be full with people who are mad at another pastor or somebody didn't say hello to them at their church, so they came over here. That's not what I'm here for. I want people to be led to Jesus because what we have to offer is real. And if it's not real, you can have it. I'm just being transparent with you this morning. This is my heart. If it's not real, there's all kind of things in this world that we can do. But I serve a God who is real. I serve a God who is active. And he's waiting for us to activate the things of the Spirit in the world we live in. Can somebody stand and give him praise this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.